Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
You're going to get to train in Arizona for the first time.
Let's go.
Oh, that's so much better.
I won't even see a Chili's, maybe.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode number 170 of the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media, and presented to you by our friends over at SeatGeek. I have my coffee mug and everything, even though I don't drink coffee, but I'll put some tea in here during the holiday seasons. As we welcome in from the Oakland A's, I can say that for the first time.
Is that weird?
Trevor May. Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Well, when we last spoke, you didn't know even if you were going to continue on with your career.
Yeah.
You had a lot of things up in the air. So what changed in between then and now?
A lot of thinking and talking to family and deciding things. And, I don't know if I was ready. I think that one thing I've heard from a lot of guys that when they were done, they kind of knew either during the season or before going in, and that was kind of like a good closure for them. Like, I don't know. Like, looking back, I'm like, was that the last pitch I threw of my career? Like, would have been like a pop-up to Cronenworth, I think. And I don't know. I kind of just want to know at the moment when it is. And I know I'm not going to get the tour where they're just handing me broken bat walking chair or rocking chairs like we did in Maryland.
You never know.
Yeah, we do know. It's not going to happen. But it was a lot happening, a lot of soul searching. I think a lot of people are doing that, especially like this 2 years after COVID. Everyone's sitting in their house and then decided or found things that they wanted to do more or whatever. And so I don't know. It's just talking to a lot of friends. Everyone's in a little bit of a transition mode and gassing each other up. So anyway, that said, I'm just not done. I got more in the tank, more to give. And you want to live your life with no regrets. So I want to go. I got a soft spot for the team, and green and gold looks good on me. And even though it is Oregon colors, I can get past that. And go have some fun. And the Coliseum's the first ever place I ever pitched. It didn't go well, but I do remember it fondly.
Yes, but your first pitch ever ended up in the mitt of our very own Trevor Plouffe, of
my
all
first
things.
Out ever in the major leagues was a first pitch thrown. Coco Crisp swinging first pitch of the game because he loved doing that. Mm-hmm. Never off the fastball, Coco. So popped it up. I was like, wow, this place is great. This is foul. And to be honest, it probably would have been in the stands in a lot of places or really close to the dugout or something. So only in Oakland would that have been a win and out. And so I get a lot of those fly balls. So that field should help me out. But I'm pretty sure Sam Fold came up next. And like the third pitch I threw to him was a single in the right. First hit I gave up, and downhill from there, Donaldson hit a double after that. And then there was a walk. And then,
oh, come on. Let's move on from that. You've done just fine since then. Okay.
And I haven't pitched that bad since. So it's literally been only getting better from there.
Did you ever think there would be a day in your major league career where you would be the highest paid player on a team?
I thought it was impossible. Actually, I looked. I think Diaz is more. I think it's like incentive semantics at this point.
Yeah,
we're
close.
Very close.
Yeah.
But that's funny. That's just kind of funny.
Hey, baller, you know what that means. When you got that many young guys on a road trip, somebody's paying for dinners. And
ugh, I have so many responsibilities now. I actually went and looked, too, as I was making the decision, at their projected bullpen, not including me. Mm-hmm. And I just, for the sake of fun, I removed the lowest service time guy, and it was like 30 days. And then I added the other seven up, and I think they're like 40 days more than me combined. So it's all how you look at it. That's cool, but I'm gonna be Grandpa Trevor. Like I am gonna be, I was just on a team where the average age was like 32, and I was like just over average to like the average age being 25. So it's gonna be fun though. I mean, it's just fun. Like, I don't know, those teams like that, like, just look at the, you know, your team, bunch of young dudes. Mm-hmm. And they just believed.
They did.
You gotta believe.
Well, okay, so, and I understand that because you can't be a pro athlete, and we as fans can look at the team and be like, oof, okay, mm-hmm. whatever. But there's also a possibility, Trevor, you know this going into it, that you could get dealt if you're pitching well in the middle of a season and things aren't going great on the team. Like, didn't you sit down and think about that a little bit, that, hey, there's a possibility I could move in the middle of a year?
Of course. I mean, I you can dance around and be like, well, you know, I'm here to, you know, but like the reality is, like, there's probably a good chance. Just if things go as projected, I mean, that's a good chance. But I think at the end of the day, here's how I'm thinking about it. I think that if I'm pitching really, really well, that's good for me. That's good for the A's.
Mm-hmm.
If they see an opportunity to, because I'm on a 1-year deal, it expires technically at the end of the year. So there's limited value there. If there's an opportunity for them to get a haul coming back and I can help create that value, then that's good for the A's too. If that means that I'm going somewhere that's in it at the end or whatever, whatever the situation is, and I can help another team, that's, they win too. If I'm able to go out and do some great stuff for them, we go all the way, we win it, and that's good for me. So I just don't think there's anyone who really gets hurt here. If that is the situation that happens. So, but of course I'm aware of that. I think that everyone's aware of it, but the goal is to not have it be a thing because we're in it. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, if the team I'm on gets added value into the future and I was able to help create that value, then I see it that way, as opposed to me being moved for someone else to create the value. I think that I'm still part of that process and that I also helped in that. So if that's what ends up happening, then I think that it's a good thing and not something to shirk or shrink away from, which a lot of people assume that that's how players are. But I've been traded before. I've been around, like, I'm the moving and the packing your suitcase and whatever, like, been in there, done it. I can do that. That's easy. It's not even I'm not worried about it at all.
I know that you said you look good in green and gold. Which is awesome. We're going to get you a hat that fits, because on the first graphic they put out, you looked like the kid who bought his hat size 3 sizes too large.
Well, do me a favor. Robbie might be able to do it right this minute. If you go look at the one that announced the Mets, that's not my body. So they photoshopped my head onto another person.
It's
like
you
a 3/4 sleeves. I don't want a 3/4 sleeves. It's not my body. I might have been Jerry Blevins. I don't know. Skinnier than I am. It's pretty funny. So, yeah, that's what happens. Photoshop's hard. I've been making my own thumbnails for YouTube. It's hard, okay? It's pretty hard.
But when you looked at that, you were like, oh, my God, my head is swimming.
Like, my ears need to be tucked in, but they're not tucked in. They're just overlapping the edges, which is funny. Yeah, hat's too big. I'll get a. I have a big noggin, but that's an 8. I'm wearing a size 8 in that.
What size hat do you wear?
7.5.
Huge.
It's on the bigger end, but we're not in the 3/4 yet.
What are you, 6'5", 250?
Just have a very large noggin.
It's not very that big.
It's
for
very
a guy
like
your...
from bottom to top too. Just generally total shape. It's big.
Well, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp Therapy Online. You guys have heard me sing the praises of therapy. I've been in and out of therapy ever since I was a little kid. There wasn't one particular event that drove me that direction. My parents always thought it was just good to be able to talk through the peaks and valleys of life with somebody else that isn't a part of your daily life, because sometimes they're going to give you a broader perspective. They're not going to hear the same old thing from you every day. And, you know, sometimes that happens when you talk to your friends or talk to your family members. They know a little bit too much about you. So that's where a therapist can lend a helping hand. So whether or not you've been in and out of therapy your entire life, or if you're a newbie to the profession, go do it, particularly around the holidays. It's really helpful because people do have those peaks and valleys, right? You're dealing with a lot of up and down things at work, sometimes with your financial situation. Sometimes it could be with a spouse or anybody that you have a special relationship with, or your family as well. Even when you think you're the strongest and dealing with the best of times, there's always ways that you can improve yourself. You can empower yourself. You can learn coping skills. And here's the great thing. You don't have to leave the comforts of your own home. What they'll do is they'll match you up with a therapist. Hopefully you have a good session. If for some reason after that first session or a couple down the road, you don't feel like you're clicking with your therapist, you'll go find somebody new and you'll find a partner that can help you grow and learn. These are vetted therapists. It's all done 100% online. It is convenient. And we also want to help you save money on top of everything else. So we want you to go to BetterHelp, that is H-E-L-P, BetterHelp.com/rotation. You're going to save 10% off of your first month at BetterHelp.com/rotation. So go help yourself and go help those people around you as well. We are recording this on a Wednesday, and it's mere hours after the baseball world was kind of shook to its core with the news that Carlos Correa will not be your roommate out there in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
He is not going to be a San Francisco Giant. He is going to your old team. When you woke up and saw that news, your reaction was?
I was like, what? And not only that, all the tweets were like 2 a.m.
Right.
So like, I'm like, wait, how? The big thing is hearing literally nothing around what, a physical gets failed and then the guy signs a 12-year deal somewhere else the next day. Like that, what, that there's steps in between that we don't seem to have done. So I don't really know what people know about what.
Okay, for a guy who has now done this twice in the last 3 years, meaning changed teams and had physicals and all sorts of stuff, take us a little bit through the process, because the Giants came out and released a statement and said, listen, we can't say anything because it's health-related. The way we saw his medicals were different than the way he saw his medicals. So Okay. Could there really be that much of a difference of opinion? Because it doesn't smell right here.
There can. I think that, like, there's certain times where guys are signing and there's something that's going to show up on a physical or no matter what. And you have to be like, oh, that's your baseline now. Like, I'll give you an example. And this is a person that I know like, if you were to sign Rich Hill at the moment, like, there's just a big long list of stuff that's like, he's played for 20 years. Like, there's just a lot. So, like, if you were to MRI Rich Hill's shoulder, it's not going to look like a 25-year-old shoulder. So, you go in knowing that. So, the standard for what the Giants were looking for could be different than another team. They could have been like, we need a clean, because they don't do deals like this usually.
Right.
They don't. And so it's the standard. It's got to be clean as a whistle. No red flags at all in order to go into a commitment like that. And that could have just been because, you know, he's had a couple things pop up over the years. And last year he missed some time, and the year before that he missed some time in the back. And, you know, as a person who also had an injury this year, like, I understand it's hard to at this point to have a clean, fully clean, you know, full workup stuff. So it, you know, and I think that physicals are different too. Sometimes they want to do three MRIs, do one on your back and your shoulder and your elbow. Or sometimes they're just like, your elbow's good and we're good. You know, it just depends on the place. But that said, like, I'm trying to think of a situation where it would be that different. And then another team's like, no, we're good. Like, immediately. You know what I mean? Like, that was the part that's crazy. A team being like, you know what? That's not good enough for us. That's within the realm of possibility. For it to flip, though, this quickly is pretty, because he had to, I mean, I'm presuming it's not like the Giants were like, oh, here's our stuff we got. Like, he had to go take another one, probably in New York for the Mets. So, like, when did this happen? Like, where?
It's happening. Does he have an MRI machine in his crib? I mean, I know.
Maybe. I don't know. And it's a 5-hour flight from one place to the other place. So it's like, has he been home? Like, where is he? How is this working? It's very interesting to me. It's almost as if maybe he's got money. Maybe he's got a teleporter that we don't know about. I don't know.
Having spent 2 years working for Steve Cohen, is he good or bad for the industry?
Depends on who you ask.
Well, I'm asking
I'm sure his peers aren't super pumped.
They're embarrassed.
They're embarrassed, but they're also like, damn, he's forcing our hand. Like, we have to participate more. And, you know, there might be a little bit of that. That's one way to make a bunch of very, very rich enemies. But, like, I think there will become a time. I think that if Steve wins a World Series soon, that I think that kind of the business side of things. It'll normalize a bit. Like, it won't be like, F it. It won't bleed blank check as much. I think he will generally be like, I think that's just his personality. He's like, I like to do what I want to do. I built this wealth to do something like this. This was the point. So he's like, it's almost like he's like doing the thing that he's been working for, which means that you're gonna use the resources you built. But yeah, he just simply does not care right now. Not even at all.
So is that, I think it's great for the sport. Like, I don't ever want to penalize somebody for wanting to be the best.
Oh yeah, 100%.
We know that in baseball in particular, it shows up because, look, I mean, you guys lost to a team that I think you had something like 13 or 14 more wins than them in the regular season. Like, you were better than the Padres, but you lost in a short series because that sort of stuff can happen. So you're not guaranteed a thing. But is it borderline irresponsible the way that Steve Cohen is just seemingly throwing money, not at a problem, but to kind of fix what he thinks ails him?
I really just think that it's sticking to the fans love it. So
right.
Like, that's big. They're all bought in like crazy. So there's a W right there. He's enjoying it. the players love it because they're receiving the payment. And I think the only people that wouldn't like it would be the other people that have to now fork out more money in order to keep up. And as an employee in a business that is worth $11 billion, I think that it benefits in a lot of ways everybody else but the other people, the ownership groups. And hopefully, hopefully these costs don't get passed on to the fans too much. That happens. No, sometimes that's a reason given, which is BS, obviously. But, some people see it that way. They do. I don't believe that that's true, but they do see it that way. So that's really the only negatives, though. I think that it's good for the sport in general, and it's hype, and these big numbers and things are exciting.
Totally.
And the same thing as the LeBron, I'm going to Miami thing. Just built crazy. You can say what you want about it, the narcissist, whatever, but it was an event, and it put every eye on basketball. So, like, this stuff happening is putting a lot of eyes on baseball, making it exciting in the modern way that sports are exciting. So we're participating. I think it's going to help the game generally.
More interesting team in the sport, the New York Mets or the New York Yankees?
Mets.
I think Mets. So, too.
Now they got Correa and Lindor. By the way, Team Puerto Rico. Can we just – and I'm seeing a theme here, but I also get it. I just watching Nito and Shug and Francisco and Seth Lugo's Puerto Rican, as he calls himself. And now they have Correa. We just had a lot of the Puerto Rican representation on the team.
Right.
And it just does really well in New York. I love it. They just felt very at home, and you could tell. And so I think Carlos is going to – I just think he's built for it. I don't think there's anyone built better for it. And then I just looked at their lineup, and I was like, oh, God, that's healthy. Like, they had someone had Marte batting seventh.
Right.
Vogelback batting eighth or ninth in Canna. Like, Canna's got to be in there somewhere. It's just that's a good team. That's a really good team. Wow. I mean, they're no A's, but they're pretty good.
What do we say to fans of, and I'm not here to get you in trouble, particularly with your new team, but to be honest, the payroll's under $20 million right now before arbitration numbers come out and stuff. For my team, the Guardians, we're like the little team that could, Pittsburgh fans. Today they wake up and they're like, wait a second, Carlos Correa just signed and Frankie Lindor is making $341 million and they're paying Justin Verlander $43 million a year at age 40. Same thing they're paying Max Scherzer, who's on the precipice of 40. Like, how do we explain to these fan bases that don't have a Stevie Cohen as their owner that, hey, it's okay, you can still compete? How do we do that?
I don't know. That's I don't know if that's possible, because he does seem to be more in it than the other owners. He's got skin in the game, and he's there, and I've shook his hand several times. I've spoken to him many times. It's just a different point. He's just more involved. It's just that simple. I think that that's been a major gripe of fans everywhere, that their owners aren't involved enough or don't care enough. And it's been a side business for a lot of people. And it's just kind of a nice thing to own a sports team. And because there's just limits on how much money you can make with it. I understand that from a business standpoint, but like at some point you got to do something that you're really excited about. And he's just really excited. So match him or get left behind, I guess. I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry, fans. I know what you want. I guess just keep putting pressure on the powers that be to either participate in a more active way or give it to someone who will. And the fact that baseball fans are clamoring for that and they really want the more active participation, the higher of the stakes, the actual emotional investment as well as the money investment, mm-hmm. just is a good testament for the game and the type of fandom it is and how much it means to people. And so I would take that as an opportunity more than if you invest a little bit, your fan base will react in a big, big way. I think it begets itself.
Totally. I think the San Diego Padres are example A, you know, because they are the 27th media market out of the 30 major league teams. And they're spending like the Boston Red Sox should be spending.
Yeah.
You know, good for them. You know, maybe at the end of the day when Xander Bogaerts is 38 years old, it's not going to look that smart, but man, they're capitalizing on a team that without their best player, arguably, made it within three wins of making the World Series.
Can you imagine him, Soto, Machado, Bogaerts?
Cronenworth,
just the absolute like keystone of the arch there. Like underrated like crazy. That guy's so good. Oh my God. And then they got that bullpen and Seth Lugo now.
And let's not forget about what the Braves have done, even though they lost Dansby Swanson. They're still
have
great.
To do anything. Yeah.
The Phillies add Trey Turner. You know, I mean, the Dodgers.
Starting pitching.
You know, the Dodgers will always be interesting. It's going to be a great year.
It is.
The only thing is that hopefully there's one or two other teams that make it interesting. I felt like down the stretch last year, there just wasn't enough gusto to get into that last playoff spot because people were like, well, screw it. We don't care if we have to play a 2-game series in St. Louis or a 3-game series in St. Louis or 3-game series in New York. We just want to get in the party. That's good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just going to be we talked about this last year in the lockout, like more playoff teams, the less, the regular season starts to mean they want 14. They wanted more. They wanted 14. They didn't want 12. They wanted 14, which would then further do that, which would then hurt regular season viewership, which they claimed they'd really be worried about. So it's all kind of a give and take. I hear you on that. People want to compete. They're just, how are we going to compete?
Now,
are we just going to mail it? Or are we going to try to just eke in because it doesn't really matter? We just got to get hot at the end. Or do we want to do it all year and just run the thing? And Steve's taken that route. The old let's win 131 games through the season and then let's win every game in the playoffs.
What are you doing for the holiday? What do we got?
I am going with my family up into a place up here in kind of rural Washington that's like a resort area. And it's negative 10 there today.
Perfect.
It's coldest it's ever been. So that's good. We'll see if we can get there, but we can do a little getaway with our family and my family this time. And, we've already had our first 6-7 days of the my wife's side gauntlet. And then there's like 3 days after Christmas. It's also more of that. So, lots of stuff, but yeah, staying around. We got snow on the ground. We literally have like a recurring, like just an inch of snow, then it like melts almost to gone, then it snows again for about an inch. It's been very, very Midwesty recently.
Are you a skier, snowboarder, snowmobile, snowshoe? What are you?
Those all sound like ways to void your contract, Chris. You're not encouraging me to take risks, are you? I don't have the big Tatis one. I can't, they'll actually just pull that trigger on me. So,
the trap door. There we go.
I would like to, but it's just everything is revolved around the game. That was also part of the conversation. I'm like, it would be nice to ski once in a while. I've never skied, but I have snowboarded in my life, but it was in high school. I haven't snowboarded in a long time, but my wife skied growing up. It is something that we like to pick up. obviously.
So you're going to be the guy who sits in the ski lodge with the drinks in the hot tub.
That's me. Okay. And I'm like, oh, babe, you're back.
Nothing wrong with that. And then
New
Year's?
She tells me, and then I'm like, I don't know what that means. Right.
New Year's? Anything interesting?
New Year's? We're hosting a New Year's party, Chris. We host phenomenal parties here at our new home. And I have recently gotten into baking.
Good for you.
On Thursday, her mother had a Christmas party with she lives on a houseboat down where the Sleepless in Seattle area is.
Nice.
Dock over, but really cool. She's moving. She's lived there for 5 years. She's moving out. So she was doing like a little like last Christmas party of living here, going back to her house that she owns. And, she's like, I got to do the cookies. I'm like, you know what? Let me make the cookies. She's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I've been baking. Let me just make the cookies. So sugar cookies were delicious. The frosting, not so good. That wasn't on me. That was my sister-in-law. She messed it up.
Whoa. You cannot call out your sister-in-law.
So this is the funny story. I made the cookies. She's like, hey, do you want me to ice these? Because we don't really have that much time. And like, you're finishing up a couple other things. I'm like, sure. And she's like, does this look like a good recipe? And I'm like, sure. Fine. So she made it. And then her, like, one of her, their friend's moms, who's one of their moms, one of her good friends was there. She goes, Trevor, because these cookies are great. Did you make the frosting? I'm like, no, I didn't make the frosting. Sarah did. And he goes, yeah, maybe pick a different recipe next time. So I'm like, hey, I'll let her know. Sarah, your frosting sucks. So the one thing I didn't do got like, hey, maybe next time do something different. And I'm not a huge sugar cookie guy. So that was random. I didn't even have any. But I did make chocolate chip cookies, which were, they were A+, like the best cookies I've ever made. And those were great. But I also made two boules, which are the bread bowl, like French breads. Gave one to our friend who I gave one to Thanksgiving, and they didn't eat it. So I made her another one, like, eat this one. And then
they weigh like
1,000
pounds, don't they?
They're really, really dense. They're big. Yeah. And I made the recipes for two. So I made that too, and I made 12 cinnamon raisin bagels. And the bagels, I want to make bagels every day. Like, they were
made
incredible.
Bagels?
Yes. They're so good. New York style, big fluffy ones. I think people in New York would be like, these are good. These are good bagels. So here's the verdict. My mother-in-law, I gave her four of the, there's 12 of them. I ate eight bagels in 3 days. I gave her four of them. She, the next morning, I got a text. This is the best bagel I've ever eaten. And then my sister-in-law went to her boyfriend's house, and her mom is a baker. Like, she bakes, she like sells some, she does it. Like, she bakes pies. She says, this might be the best chocolate chip cookie I've ever eaten. He needs to make these all the time, and I think that they would sell. And I'm like, wait.
What makes them so special? Are they the soft, chewy?
So they're the soft, chewy ones. So it all came down to when you take them out of the oven, which I didn't know, and that was perfect. The moment they turned brown, pulled them out. So they look like they're not baked yet. They finish and settle, and they can become like the really good chew. They're chewy, but they're consistent, like dense-y kind of feel, but they're flat. And then it says softened butter. And what I did was I didn't go full brown butter with it, but I sauteed the butter just a little bit, heated it up, and got a little bit of brown, and then put it in the batter. And that gave it richness. And that was incredible. So A+ in cookies, A+ in the bagels. And the bowl, we ate half the bowl. I made chicken noodle soup the other night, and I'm like, this is perfect. And it was just perfect. I'm great at bowl. So, but now I got to make cookies for my Christmas. So I'm gonna make them again. I'm gonna go to the grocery store tonight, making 72 chocolate chip cookies.
I love this. God Almighty, this is great. God, I'd run up there if I was within like 70 miles of your house. I would run over.
I'm gonna open a bakery, big league bakery. Everything's gonna be baseball themed. That's a joke. I'm not doing that. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It's not. Yeah, I can see. So I can see it. Hey, the Bay Area—they've got great food, great foodie people, great restaurants, great bakeries. I think you're onto something. What is there a theme for the New Year's Eve party or anything?
Oh, that's what we're talking about. The theme is new beginnings. Obviously, we have Kate's got some rituals and things she would like to do. Where we're like, write down something that you didn't like, and we're gonna burn it, or throw it away, and we're gonna do that kind of as a group. So she's handling that, and then I'm doing all the cookies. I'm gonna do. Oh, I'm doing a pizza bar, so I'm gonna have the pizza dough and balls. Ready to go, just in cellophane, and people can come just grab it, and then I have all the stuff for making your own pizza, and you're just going to roll
You have a pizza oven?
We have a double oven. So you can just go 375 in a normal oven. You can get a pizza. I think that's in the future. We're going to get one of those. What are they called?
A brick oven? Popular.
Yes. Like the little brick oven thing. You can take it outside. You just plug it in and it works. But I'll just put the both ovens, set them, and then you just pop it in and it takes 10 to 12 minutes. And white sauce, red sauce, pepperoni, peppers, sausage. We'll just do a bunch of stuff. And then when people are hungry, they can just make themselves a personal pizza real quick.
I've gained 7 pounds just over the last 2.5 minutes listening to what's going on.
Yeah, it's,
in the May
it's trouble. I ate 8 bagels in 3 days. 8. And I could not, because everyone's like, hey, I heard you make bagels. I'm like, yes, I did. And as I'm cutting one open, I'm like, let me show you it as I eat it.
What is the key to, I've never made a bagel in my life.
Honey.
That's the key to it?
Heat a good bagel. Boiling is what gives them the chewiness. So before you bake them, you get them solid. You make the rounds and stuff, and then you boil both sides. And the amount of time you boil it is how chewy it'll be.
Are you a cream cheese or butter guy on your bagel?
Both. Not both at the same time, but either one. Either one. I love cream cheese. I'm big on cream cheese, but I made Madeline's, I don't know, like a month ago, like a lot. At making Madeline's, pumpkin Madeline's with cream cheese frosting, so I got a little cream cheese out. So, but we'll come back. We've been trying different types of butter, different brands,
ghee.
And some are better than others. Ghee's less flavorful, but it's good for you. That's the gluten-free option. If I ever want to make gluten-free bagels, I don't. But yeah, you boil them and then you bake them, and it takes 15 minutes to bake them. It doesn't take very long at all. But I use honey this time and a little bit of sugar, and then you put honey in the water. And then you egg wash the top of them so they get that kind of browning.
Interesting. Gosh.
And they're just, oh God, they're so good. I'm still getting the shaping down. Some of them are square and like, but
I don't understand why you haven't videoed this stuff and put it up on your channel.
This is for me for now.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I am taking pictures of everything though. So I have a catalog, but I am going to do, I actually owe my Twitch stream in a week, a baking stream, because we did our charity event a while back and made a bunch of money. Good. And we hit the thing, and we're going to try to make macarons, which are really hard. And I tend to get really frustrated. So it's going to be really funny.
Okay. Well, one of the videos you did put out, which was hilarious, was you to the music and giving up the home runs. Was it therapeutic at all to do that?
I was like, okay, so how that came about is I was like, everyone's using this video to do things like that, like change the scene, speed up. And I was like, how many homers have I given up? And it was 58 in my career, and I needed 62 events. So there's two minor league home runs. One is to Plouffe when he's in.
Yep.
I made sure I found that one and put it in. And then the first one is Fold hitting the first hit.
Oh.
And then there's like a double. I put a double that looks like a homer in there. I think Donaldson. Because Donaldson has like, he's like 7 for 8 with a homer and 6 doubles. So I was like, I can just grab one of these because they all hit the top of the wall. So I'm like, one of these looks like a homer. And I just put that in there to round it out. But I actually didn't give up enough. I need everyone to know that. I didn't give up enough homers to fill it yet.
That was pretty good, though. I'll tell you what was fun for me. I tried to name as many guys as possible.
Did you get Dylan Viciado? You get that guy?
I did not.
I'm pretty sure that's the farthest one still. I think it was like 465. It was. When he hit it, I was like, oh my God. And it was like 2/3 of the way at the third deck in target field. Like, wow.
So wait a second. Where does Soto's rank in terms of distance?
That was like 438. It was up there. He got it.
He got it pretty good.
And I was happy about it. As you could tell. I love ending the video with that. I was like, perfect. Perfect.
That was good. Well, listen, congratulations on your new baseball home. We're very excited for you. Let's get together in another 4 to 6 weeks. Check in on you before you head down to spring training. You're going to get to train in Arizona for the first time.
Let's go.
Oh, that's so much better.
I won't even see a Chili's maybe.
That is so much better. I just want to let you
know. So much better. We're already looking at places. And I'm like, oh my God. Though some of those places, I'm like, how in what world could you ever rationalize charging that? That is insanity. But well, I think we got some opportunities and some places and with pools and stuff. Kate's pumped. So
yeah.
I'm pumped. And everything's like 5 minutes with the field. Everything.
Yep.
So I'm excited. And it was, they redid it like 6 years ago too. So it's pretty nice.
Which good deal.
Is
well,
good.
Enjoy your baking. I look forward to trying the bagels, the chocolate chip cookies, the dense cake. Anything else that you're throwing? Oh, the pizzas on New Year's. You know, just save a little slice. It could be like the wedding cake where you have to freeze it for a year. Just save it for the next time I'll see you.
Why not?
Yeah.
I can't think of one reason why not.
So a happy holiday to you and to Kate and your entire family. I know that everybody who always joins us here on the Rose Rotation loves hearing a little checkup of Trevor May because you're such an interesting dude. So
Thank you. Happy holidays. And I appreciate you bringing me on, especially after who's last? Hedges?
Yeah, Hedgy. We got him right before he signed with the Pirates.
Okay.
Right before he signed with the Pirates.
It's hard to match his energy, I'll be honest.
Well, come on now. Sheesh. Nobody does. That's why he's going to have like an 18-year big league career. Yeah. And he's still going to be hopping around the place at like age 39, catching twice a month.
Just wearing it, sprinting on and off the field.
What he does, man.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
Love it.
All right, so for Trevor May and for our one-of-a-kind producer, the amazing Robbie Scirocco, I am Chris Rose. We'll see you next time here on the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.